Hello, and welcome to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, where you'll hear advice from experienced safety leaders on how to protect your people and business. I'm Peter Steinfeld. September marks National Preparedness Month and Rail Safety Month, two nationwide efforts to raise awareness around emergency readiness and rail-related hazards. With trains running through communities across the country, thousands of organizations support these initiatives through shared commitment and collaboration. To explore what these initiatives look like in action, we turn to one of the nation's leading rail organizations. Today, we're joined by Justin Miko, Vice President of Operational Safety at Amtrak, the National Railroad Passenger Corporation. Justin discusses Amtrak's 2025 National Rail Safety Month programs and initiatives, and how the company educates both the public and their 21,000-plus employees on the importance of railroad safety to prevent incidents before they occur. Here's our conversation. Welcome, Justin. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate it, Peter. Thanks for the platform, and I look forward to the conversation.
Can you tell us a bit about your current role at Amtrak?
My title is Vice President Operational Safety. Our goal is to provide safe, efficient, and reliable transportation. So I'm blessed to have a tremendous amount of support and some great professionals that I work with and alongside. And we interface with the operating departments. You have the transportation services, and that's our locomotive engineers, our conductors, our station personnel, and our onboard services. Then you have the mechanical personnel, and they're just that. They provide the preventative maintenance of our equipment. They make the repairs, they inspect the equipment, and they do all those things to ensure that the equipment is reliable. And then finally, you have your engineering workforces. And they work on the track bed. They make sure that the track infrastructure is safe and secure at all times through a variety of inspections, preventative maintenance, routine maintenance, all sorts of activities. They're some of the hardest working folks in the industry, and I'm blessed to work alongside of them. The operational safety element is, are we doing what's regulatory required? How do we know we're doing those things? And how do we monitor our performance year over year, set safety goals within those different organizations, and really drive a continuous improvement.
Can you tell us more about Rail Safety Month, what it is, and why is it such a critical initiative?
Rail Safety Month started back in 2017, and it was a collaborative effort between Operation Lifesaver Incorporated, state Operation Lifesaver agencies, and different rail industry stakeholders in the United States, Canada, in Mexico. The goal of Rail Safety Week was to raise awareness around grade crossing and trespasser safety. In 2023, it was rebranded to See Tracks, Think Train. What's rail safety mean? How do we simplify it to the public? We want people to constantly be thinking about the presence of trains when they're near or crossing railroad tracks. So over the last 3 years, that has been the message, the See Tracks, Think Train. It's a week-long event that starts on September 15th this year and runs through the week. On Tuesday is Operation Clear Track. Operation Clear Track is an event that's sponsored by Amtrak, and it's sponsored by our police department. They go out and interface with local law enforcement agencies. And the purpose of that interaction is twofold. One, we want to raise awareness around rail safety. Two, we go out and observe crossings and areas where you may have trespassing. And we take exception to those behaviors. But more importantly, we use that time to give folks flyers. Those flyers have statistics. They have rail safety tips to create awareness around rail safety. We brought in this at Amtrak to Rail Safety Month. And that's to really sharpen the sword across the entire enterprise around safety, security, and preparedness. Something else that we incorporate into Rail Safety Month is Preparedness Month. We're supporting FEMA's Ready campaign, and that Preparedness Month is critical. I joined Amtrak in 2017. We've navigated a pandemic. We've navigated wildfires. We navigated a deep freeze in Texas. We've navigated multiple hurricanes, and we've done each of these activities without stopping our network. And that's something that's a tribute to the folks that I'm fortunate to serve with and alongside here at Amtrak.
What are some other programs or campaigns that Amtrak will lead this September to support Rail Safety Month?
We have a Safety Olympics, which is an internal program we started a couple years back. We create a trivia-style game that's interactive and that the employees get real-time feedback on. And at the end of the month, those that perform at a gold medal level are rewarded and publicly recognized as well. So it does twofold. One, it drives engagement. People by nature are competitive, and the interactions and the volume of participants tells you they're really enjoying it. But two, it also provides a lot of education around those areas that we deem most critical for our folks to know wherever they are in the organization.
Sounds like a really great idea. Even if you don't end up winning, at least you get exposed to those things maybe you didn't think about, or at least think about too clearly, and now you'll remember that going forward.
That's what we like to share. With Amtrak Safety Olympics, there are no losers, because at the end of the day, you will win in the game of life by participating in this program.
I love it. Well, let's talk more about those internal efforts. How does Amtrak prepare its employees for emergency response and ongoing safety readiness?
Every meeting at Amtrak starts with a safety briefing. And that's whether it's the fourth meeting of the day or the last meeting on a Friday, it starts with a safety briefing. And that safety briefing covers a variety of areas, but it starts with evacuation routes, hazards at the location, what we're going to do in the event of emergency. It identifies who's going to perform certain actions like calling 911, meeting the first responders. One of the things that we introduced here in the last couple of years was an IT security reminder. And that's one of the areas that's critical to us. There's a lot of technology associated with our ticketing systems and also our operating systems. And we have to ensure that we're fortified in that space. And we're just reminding people that safety isn't something that you leave at the office when you go home. From a preparedness standpoint, it gets much more formalized. We have drills. We do large-scale emergency activities with both internal and external stakeholders. As it relates to our network, it's 21,000 miles, all sorts of terrain, all sorts of geographical considerations to take into account. So we don't just do those on sunny days. You know, we do those in inclement weather because it affords you the chance to be prepared for any scenario.
So it seems like safety is just integrated into the daily business, the daily things that people do, each and every job they do. It's not something they stop once a quarter and say, hey, let's look at the safety aspects of my job. It's just every day they're thinking about this.
100%. Safety isn't a spectator sport. We want people, if they see something, say something. And that the more tools that we can provide to do that, the better off we are. We've stood up a voluntary reporting program over the last couple of years. There's some fundamental elements of it that I think make it real effective. One, we acknowledge the receipt of any voluntary report. We tell you, thank you for submitting a report. It is being handled, and this is where you can track the status of the report. Then we vet the report to the subject matter expert, and then that person follows up. And we circle back with the reporter until it's closed. But that has built credibility. We afford confidentiality associated with it as well. So if a person chooses they don't want to be known as submitting the report, they're afforded that protection, if you will. But we don't want you to be anonymous, because many times we'll follow up for clarifying questions to understand the report. That voluntary reporting campaign is critical to our culture.
Yeah, it's just the nature of your business. It's impossible to operate without something going wrong at some given time. So the question is, how do you deal with it? And you've got to set up systems and procedures and make people feel like all the focus is on the problem, not the person. Everyone's got to feel comfortable with it. And that's how you create an overall safer environment.
1,000%. And that's been a learning curve for us. At 2018, we committed to pursuing a safety management system here at Amtrak. That has been critical to our safety journey. because that demands that you look at causal factors, and it demands you become a learning organization. There's not a finish line with a safety management system. It's just constant maturation of those elements and proactive data identification to identify those risks. And at the end of the day, let's make sure we do a effective analysis of severity and likelihood and see where we fall from a risk perspective and what safeguards or mitigations we can implement to ensure that we drive that down to a acceptable level of risk.
So how is Amtrak working to raise awareness among passengers and communities this month?
The big thing is communication and education. The education piece is where we really are pushing this month. Trains aren't ever present in many communities. So it's not part of your normal routine, if you will. I'll give you an example. There was a Festival of Lights out in California. We had a family in a minivan turning into a neighborhood. When you turn into that neighborhood, every other day of the year, you go straight across the tracks. Well, in this instance, the traffic flow was stopped because people were going slowly into the neighborhood to observe the lights. Once that locomotive engineer sees people stopped on top of the crossing, it takes a train on average a mile and a half to stop. So unfortunately, a devastating accident occurred where multiple lives were lost when the train struck that minivan. That's one of those situations where we need to be proactive around. If you're planning parades, if you have events, can I keep it away from the railroad tracks? But if railroad tracks are present, what do I need to do to safeguard the community and the rail operators? That education piece is so critical. We do a lot of direct communication with city planners. We do a lot of direct outreach with law enforcement agencies as well. We're reaching out to school districts this time of year, you know, early September. But also, if your school is around railroad tracks, you know, please take some time during your school day to educate children around railroad safety. We've partnered with Waze. If you use Waze nowadays, you're alerted to the presence of railroad tracks. As an industry, we've had a couple different summits where we bring in technology providers and present some of the problems that we see and how can we collaborate. We want to be at the table when the risks and hazards are being identified with driver safety to ensure that trains and railroad tracks are a part of that equation.
Many of our listeners have employees who commute or travel for business by train. What can they take back to their organizations to raise awareness about rail safety?
On every grade crossing in the United States of America, a blue and white sign is present. And that blue and white sign has an emergency phone number to contact, and then it has a unique identifier. So the people at the other end of that phone know exactly where you're at related to the grade crossing. This phone number is going to the dispatch centers that dispatch the trains. And this affords them to take action to slow or stop the train. One of the more horrific grade crossing accidents that I heard about and have heard the audio, but somebody was stopped on the tracks and called 911 and they're asking for assistance. The 911 operator's asking the person to remain calm. But what did not occur was nobody told that driver, get out of the vehicle, get to a place of safety. So this person was fatally struck while on the phone with the 911 operator. The first thing you need to do is get to a place of safety, identify where the sign is, and then call the number. That's an example of so many where if somebody would have done something differently, lives could be saved.
Well, what are some other tidbits about rail safety that more people should be aware of? Like maybe the top two or three things that people don't know or maybe just misunderstand when it comes to rail safety?
Walking on railroad tracks is against the law. It's a federal law that it's trespassing. Unfortunately, they're often convenient as it relates to walking somewhere. And with earbuds, we've had horrific incidents where we're blowing the horn, sounded, but somebody's walking, they're jam into their earbuds and they don't even hear the train approaching them from behind. The other piece, I talked about diagnostic reviews, you know, how is a railroad interface designed? And more frequently than not, the railroad tracks were there first. Communities are built around them. Think about some of your crossing designs. Say you have a railroad running north and south. You put a road that's going east and west. We've had some situations where if people have a stoplight designed where they're having people stop perpendicular to the railroad tracks. Well, we have designs right now where you could pull up to that red light and if you're driving an 18-wheeler, you're hanging out over railroad tracks. And that is just a recipe for disaster. From a human behavior standpoint, you're not encountering that enough to identify it as a hazard or a risk. And that's what we try to raise awareness around from an education standpoint. The other one, Peter, is you'll have situations where people could have just driven through the gate, but there is a human barrier where, there's a gate in front of me, I can't move. I promise you, I'd much rather replace a gate than have to share that you lost a loved one.
So you're saying like if someone just stayed on the tracks when they shouldn't have, and then all of a sudden the gates come down, just go, drive through it.
Don't get paralyzed by that gate, drive through it. We can't bring you back.
I like the way you phrased it. And I think it's that people need to look at train tracks differently. They tend to view them as this bucolic, wonderful, pretty train track. No, it's like standing in the middle of an interstate. You would never stand there right in the middle of the interstate. You would never walk with your back to the oncoming traffic, and you should treat railroads exactly the same way. They're just as, if not more, dangerous.
100%. And the numbers are staggering. Every 3 hours in the United States, a person or vehicle is struck by a train.
Wow.
Every 3 hours. That's an eye-opening number, but what is extremely frustrating about that number is they're all preventable.
Well, looking ahead, what are your longer-term goals for Amtrak's safety and operational readiness strategy?
The proactive risk identification is something that we're constantly looking to evolve. How do we more effectively understand the causal factors and look to address those? From a data standpoint, we're becoming very data rich. How do we analyze that data most effectively? And then we are doing a lot in the grade crossing space to better understand how to design the most effective crossing protections. How do we more effectively interface with some of those technology providers that I mentioned? Overarching, the maturation of our safety management system continues to be the goal here. And if you look at it, sitting at a crossing, watching the trains go by, you think, hey, not much has changed. But the amount of technology that is present now that continues to be introduced is awesome. Simulators, collision avoidance systems, positive train control, which is a safety override introduced back in 2021. Over 20 years that I've been in the industry, it's just amazing to see how far we've come and where we're going.
Are there any particular future safety initiatives or maybe innovations that you're especially excited about right now?
LIDAR is one of the initiatives that I'm extremely excited about, both from a safety and security perspective. But what LIDAR is and what LIDAR stands for, light detection and ranging, it provides a map of your system that once you map it initially, any deviations are identified. That's extremely critical in our space and things of that nature that the naked eye may not see, LIDAR technology identifies it. We have a limits compliance and collision avoidance system that we're introducing with our engineering workforce that provides an additional overlay where you have a single point of failure. We have a lot of single points of failure present in our industry being 200 years old. And that's one of the priorities of our safety management system. And as far as being a learning organization is how do we build in more redundancies where those single points of failure are present? We're doing work with machine learning to understand crossing behaviors. The onboard monitoring has been tremendous. The growth that is taking place in that space with the onboard monitoring of the locomotive engineer performance and adherence to requirements. We can go live into a locomotive cab real time and observed the operation. So how do you use these tools most effectively? I think anytime as an organization, the challenge is always not only can we get it, yes, what do we do with it? And how do we use it most effectively? What are those key performance indicators that we really need to dig into from a severity perspective that allow us to protect ourselves, the brand, and our customers?
Well, it's great to hear that the rail industry is paying attention to these things, looking at new technologies and seeing how they can improve their policies, procedures, and the tech they use to keep people safe.
That's the thing I'm most proud of is where we've come as an industry in the technology space. But simultaneously, that human interface is always most critical. How do we give people tools that help them do their job to the best of their abilities while eliminating risks?
That is the key. Well, Justin, thank you so much for being on the show. I'll never look at railroads the same way again.
Thanks, Peter. If I could choose a podcast, I'd choose you.
Well, to learn more about Justin and his work with Amtrak, click the links in the episode description. You can also watch the video highlights on Alert Media's YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe out there.
Thank you for listening to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, the industry's most intuitive emergency communication and threat intelligence solution. To learn more about how to protect your people and business during critical events, visit alertmedia.com. Until next time.